cinnamon.
She's not like anyone else. You wonder why she captured you like a firefly and makes you shine like you never could alone.
Hey everybody, welcome to Drive Through HR. Ryan Wimpen and the lovely Nisha on talking about HR stuff with HR people. So safe travels to our co-host, Mr. William Tincup, who is somewhere in the world today doing what he does best. So safe travels, thinking about you. Maybe he'll call in. You never know. He's wheels off. So thanks to my partners over at People Clues for supporting the show. And Nisha, it's pre-show was so. It's always fun to talk to you, by the way. So how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Brian. It's pretty awesome outside, pretty sunny, and I had a walk in the morning, and I feel so productive today.
Well, that is awesome. So, you know what? Last night, middle of the night, I woke up just almost in a cold sweat because I had not heard about employee engagement lately, and it was concerning me. So it's very fortuitous that we have like one of the foremost willing to talk about it, down and dirty, here's what you need to do, experts on employee engagement in the HR space in our country on the show today. So weird. Benjamin McCall, my friend, how are you doing? And welcome back to Drive Through HR.
Thank you very much. It's been a while. I appreciate you having me back. I'm doing well.
Well, excellent, my friend. Well, if you could introduce yourself to our millions of new listeners and some really old listeners, I might add, who know no judgment, that are streaming the show out there, and introduce yourself, and then we'll jump into kind of what's top of mind with you.
My name is Benjamin McCall, hashtag Benjamin McCall on Twitter. I am a practitioner in the field of HR, focusing on training and development, organizational development, as well as, at the time being, employee engagement within the healthcare space.
Fantastic. And not only employee engagement, I might add, but a hell of a good resource and kind of thought-provoking individual around leadership, I might add. Leadership and development, that's definitely your wheelhouse also. I'll throw that in.
Yeah.
And toot
I like
your horn
that
a little bit. So I think you actually know what you're doing, I might add, like more than not. So that's good.
Thank you.
You know, I might even endorse you on LinkedIn. I might gamify I might do it.
Because I'd love to be in the top 0.0001%.
You know, and LinkedIn never asked me to endorse anybody. I'm the one person that it doesn't ask 7,000 times a day to endorse, like on here's 20,000 things you should endorse this person that you barely know. So, but you
exactly.
know, that's a whole other show, right?
Yeah.
So let's jump in your world, man. What is keeping you up at night?
Well, you know, in thinking about employee engagement, I think asking the right questions. There are a lot of tools out there, you know, that employment partners, vendors, as well as companies use in order to measure, track, and either engage their employees or ask them their current engagement level, whether it's once a year, biannually, or just on a regular basis. So I think for me lately, in my mind, is asking the right questions and also addressing the people behind the engagement rather than always the tools. I think the tools are great tools. However, the questions can get in the way of actually just having a conversation, honest, open conversation with that individual.
Well, so what, I mean, let's I actually posted this out. Actually, it's coming up on Twitter chat at 12:30. By the way, everybody, 12:30 to 1, the absolute most badass Twitter chat ever around people topics, and it's around brand, and we've got the editor from Fast Casual co-hosting today with the lovely Kat Carlos, and they're going to blow it up. And one of the questions, long route to get to this, but one of the questions that we're going to have, we posted out, we're having on there. So, and you talk about engagement, satisfaction, culture, brand. Is that really all the same thing? And we've just dissected it because of different people making money different ways and people creating jobs for themselves. You know, what is that the same thing, Ben?
You know, I don't think they are. I mean, I think depending on how people talk about it or use it, it can be. You know, when you think about brand, branding is usually an output. So it's an output of, well, two parts. An output of what you're trying to convey to others of what who you are and what you do, as well as an input for other people. You know, from what you do, how you do it, and what people see, they will interpret it. I think culture can be an extension of a company's brand if it's not always centered around products. And I think engagement can be a piece of that, but I think they're all separate. If you try to mix it in too much, then you could talk about it. You know, you get into the murky waters where you don't really know what you're talking about. You know, don't know what's in the water, but you know you're in water, and there's a lot of it. So
right.
I think, you know, it can be, and some companies think about it in that way, and they blend it in together, but it can confuse people to where, okay, so what is your culture? What do you do? Who are you? And what do you market internally? Your brand is typically thought of as external, and engagement can be anything from engagements between customers and your products, customers and your company, or employees and the customers, or even employees, the relationship between employees and the company. So I think you got to dissect it in order to understand, just like data, big data and the talk around that, you got to dissect the pieces in order to understand how do we get down to the individual, you know, which I think ultimately when people talk about employee engagement, they talk higher level about the individual, but sometimes leave out the individual.
So where does, and kind of, and we'll jump back to engagement. I'm just really curious, since brand is, you know, HR and how it affects brands is actually our Twitter, is the Twitter chat kind of theme and topic today. So how you as a practitioner, you've been in the game, you know, big companies, smaller companies, new companies, old, you know, very old companies. So where do those, as an HR practitioner, where does the conversation of brand actually intersect and happen for you over, you know, over your experience, over the years that you've been in this? Let's turn that around. Has it ever happened? Has somebody just said, "Yeah, you're a practitioner, Benjamin. You're a smart guy. You're an attractive guy." Let's throw that in there too. And so, what do you think about brand? What's our brand? Have you ever had that happen?
Well, yeah. It's happened a few different times within my career, and oftentimes it's either been in the brand of the company. What are we trying to portray? And also employment brand. You know, what is the employment brand of what we're telling employees? And then also, what is the brand of our company to where people want to work for us, want to buy from us, and want to interact with us? So it does, to answer your question, it does happen. It's few and far between, and I think probably last year and previous it happened a lot more because over the last 2 years it was real popular, you know, employment brand, company brand, and how that intersects. But those conversations do happen, and when they do happen, oftentimes it's talked about in the aspect of, okay, what is your brand? How do you sell yourself? How do you intermingle you with your company and your products, as well as when you start talking about social media and those interactions, is how do you differentiate yourself from the company or your products and even from yourself, you know? So brand does come up.
And so if and do you think it's, I mean, do you think HR has a valuable voice in talking about, and this is actually a two-part question, I might add, is one, do you think HR has a real kind of valuable voice in discussing kind of company brand? That's question B, and now I'll give you question A just to change it up because you're a sharp dude. Question A would be, can you really dissect the overarching brand of a company and an employment brand?
Oh, gosh, overarching. Say the second question again. I want to make sure I answer it correctly.
Yeah, so the overall company brand, can you actually, can you discern that from an employment brand? Because a lot of, most people traditionally are like, well, we have an overall company brand. And then we have like an employment brand that we're calibrating is what I hear people say toward the audience we're trying to bring in. Some people say just the other. It's like, no, brand is brand. You can't discern and pick and choose like, oh, yeah, this is company brand, but our employment brand's different. And so any thoughts on that?
Well, a few different things on your last point outside of the question. If someone only wants to focus on brand on a higher level, yeah, they can argue the point that, you know what, you can't differentiate. It's the same. We're one. It's interactive, and that's the way it is. However, if you start to dissect it and think about, okay, how is our we have some great products, especially for multi-million dollar companies that are huge, but we got some pockets and some areas where, you know, we're not that great. So our overall brand history as a product, as a company is great, but our employment brand has been spotty over the last, you know, 10, 15 years, last couple years, and especially within certain areas. So to a certain extent with question B, you know, I think you can, and especially if you go down deeper, and also for larger companies, definitely. Smaller companies, there may not be that much of a distance between the company brand and the employment brand. Because it's so much smaller, it's in its inception, and people are used to mirroring the two and talking about the two as if it's one and the same. For, you know, the first question, HR has valuable voice. I think HR does have a valuable voice in being able to differentiate the, you know, company brand and the employment brand. And if you really focus on the employment brand as it relates to the company brand, definitely, because all of us have focus areas. You know, there's VPs of marketing, directors of operations. You've got people who are in administration, people who are in the field, people who are focusing on different areas of their job and one role. They don't have time. While they may understand parts of the whole company, they don't have time to focus on every different piece. So some are cog fillers, and some are strategy people. So when I think about being focused on those areas, HR is focused on really, if you want to dwindle it down to simple, is the company brand and how they measure up to other companies and how we keep, retain, promote, and maintain top talent. As well as the employment side of, you know, when we're thinking about people and hiring and we've got all the data, we've got our experiences to where we're having conversations with managers on this is why you're not keeping people, this is how you could possibly help this individual or this group be more productive. Yes, HR has a voice. It's just, does someone else outside feel that it's valuable? And that's, I think that's for any area within the company. So you can build and maintain influence around that as long as you know what you're talking about and how it relates to the overall business and its people.
Well, this is such a great thought, Benjamin. Well, talking about employee engagement and then the best practices, you know, too often some organizations try to copy what other companies are doing to improve their own business, right? For example, Zappos does Happy Ever, and Zima do Happy Ever, or Amazon does fuse ball tables. Yeah, then we should have fuse ball tables, something like that. And then it won't work for others. It won't necessarily work for others. So what are your thoughts to these organizations when they try to do something that don't make sense for their organization or for their history or even for their core values?
You know, I think across cultures, countries, and even across businesses, you know, business lines and industries, there's definitely things that you can use that are practices that, you know, here's what this company doing, and they're an aviation company that we can align with what we're doing in healthcare. Here's what a manufacturing facility focusing on specialty parts can contribute, and we can research towards, you know, just an AutoZone type company. So I think there's places where as long as you evaluate what it does, what their end result is, and how it fits, it could fit with yours. But I think, you know, like the whole mindset, good to great, and when a lot of people tried to marry that Jim Collins book to what they did, but it didn't necessarily fit with what they did. It was like a puzzle piece from another puzzle box that just wouldn't fit. But you love that puzzle piece, and you love the way it fits in the other box, but you want it to fit with yours. You know, sometimes different things aren't going to fit. So if you didn't cross culturally or cross companies, you got to be able to understand, okay, will this marry into our people? Will they accept it? And if they don't accept it, is that a sacrifice we're willing to make in order to make us better? Or is it something, you know, it doesn't fit for our company? So we'll address it. So very generally, yes, you can. But I think specifically you have to understand, what does your company do? What do your people do? And how does it fit within that in regards to engagement? You know, parties and sales incentives may not work for your company. People love more money and people love to have fun, but it may not work with your company. Whereas for another company, you know, little outings or managers being able to talk to their people every once in a while or having small team meetings, that may work better. So I think it all is what fits with your area, and not trying to make, you know, the puzzle piece on the other side fit within your box when it's not meant to.
Well, that's good stuff. Hope people are taking notes. Let's do a quick reset. Brian and Nisha on with Benjamin McCall. I'm going to change it up on you a little bit here. You've been swinging for the fences and nailing it every time. Good job. We got baseball season. Dude, we're right in the middle of the season is upon us. So a little shout out to my friend Sarah Atkinson, probably the biggest baseball fan that I personally know. She's all in it, so she's reminding us that, you know, the Giants are great and everybody else is, like, second grade. So just a little shout out there. So big data. What does big data mean to you?
When I think big data, I think of all the data that you collect, everything from customers buying your products, to information you collect around employees, to information around ethnicity, to everything that you collect, whether it's in a business or even just haphazardly as an individual. So big data is all that data. When I go further about big data is just data, and it's just big. It's a big pile in a database if you don't really know what you got and if that data doesn't talk to each other. So if you got multiple databases or multiple pieces of information on paper and a database on separate people's computers, all it is a bunch of data, and together it's big, but you may not be able to make sense of it. So that's what big data means to me. And what it could mean for many people is if you take moments or time to dissect and delineate that data to what it may mean to you. Okay, we want to find out what is important to this department in this region and this hourly employee. And we start to dwindle down amongst all the data by that to find out, you know what, we can tell a story with this data rather than it just being, you know, a bunch of data. So.
Well, that's you know, so where's the future lie with how you're approaching, you know, being right in the middle of being a practitioner? How does big data change or not change anything you do in the future about, you know, just the roles that you're in?
What it does change is that for me, the role that I'm in, what it does change is I know that we've got it. I know we've got a lot of different data that we can look at. What it doesn't change is whether I have permission to access it, whether I have permission to distribute it in a way that's sensitive and just tells a story, as well as if I'm able to use it in a way and make impact. So, you know, it doesn't change much because I know I've got it, and I probably will find out that I have a lot more. The problems become where, how do you use it, how can you use it, and then when you use it, is it going to be something that you can tell a story with, or is it just something that someone's going to try to tell their own story? And what I mean by that is, you know, a true story. Here's, okay, from these three pieces of data, we can tell that employees feel this way about this product and they treat customers in this way, rather than, you know what, I'm telling my story and reinforcing, well, I knew that that's the way it was, and using the data to be able to tell me that I'm right or that I'm wrong based off my own thoughts. And I think that's the wrong way to do it. I think you basically tell the story of what's there, what assumptions, and what assumptions can we make, what impact can we make, and then is it valid? Can we use it?
Great talk, Ben. Well, as it relates to big data or social media, well, how can an organization leverage this as it relates to increasing employee interaction and employee engagement?
I think there's plenty of ways to do it. I think you have to have the right tool. So immediately I think of a previous organization I was with. You have Hootsuite and you have Twitter and Facebook and you have all these social media platforms and then tools to be able to delineate the conversation, to be able to understand the conversation. And oftentimes in that social media space, there's places where people go specifically for certain things. Like I remember before, when social media first started getting talked about, what I would hear and was a good story to tell is that pretty much LinkedIn was work, Facebook was home, and Twitter was your front porch where everything meets in between. So people used to use these tools in very segmented ways, outside of some people that use it, you know, all over the place. So oftentimes your friends, your followers, your connections, they become people within your network that's either friends, family, business. And you use those and return to those on a regular basis. So what started to happen in the social media space, and I'm not an expert, this is from my own view, is that people are trying to break the boundaries of those typical networks that people have kind of set themselves to. So trying to break the boundaries of LinkedIn to see how far they can go with that, Twitter, you know, not just personal conversations or not just business conversations, but how do you interact across the two? And Facebook, you know, you're seeing so many different things happen with Facebook over the last year to two since they went public. So I think the biggest thing that we as individuals can do is understand or try to understand within our network who's comfortable with using it outside of that and how far can we go, as well as, you know, for the information that people put out there already, how can I use it in an appropriate way to understand the people I interact with. For businesses and trying to do sales, how can I understand how people are using our products and how they feel comfortable and give us permission to talk to them and for them to talk back to us around those products? How can I understand, you know, what employees want from a company through Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn? How can I understand from the information that people allow us to see how I can use the information that they allow us to see, and also vice versa? So it's one of those things where you've got plenty of information to use, but how ethical are you going to be when you're using it, and how much are you going to either turn people on or off to you as an individual, you as a company, or you as an employer?
Nice. Love it. So what are some new, we'll kind of stay down a little bit of the, kind of, we'll kind of turn the corner and get to some technology. So any new technologies out there that you're like, hey, this is actually pretty cool around, you know, whatever, engagement, collaboration, social, I don't know, whatever.
Nothing new that I've kind of come across. I think it's kind of tough to say. I kind of have used some of the same tools to be able to use, you know, the typical Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn. I think the real question is what new ways people are using, like, some of those tools. So for me, like, you know, LinkedIn has so many new different features for profiles and for individuals who are premium users. So if you're a profile, you know, in LinkedIn, you now have the ability to list specific things. So if I was at a company and I have projects that I work with other people on, you know, it's kind of a way for people to know what kind of stuff that I've worked on and also who I've interacted with as a company there. For Facebook, they've got a couple new tools, you know, on Facebook that you can use, better privacy settings, as well as, you know, specific things for pages and advertising. And then Twitter, you know, Twitter's kind of, it's been slow getting up, but they've had a couple of new things in using Twitter that you can now do a little bit more with video and things along those lines, but not too far out there. So there's not much that I know of as far as new tools, or, you know, maybe it's my own misunderstanding and not much use lately of new tools. But there's so much out there that's coming out in the current tools that people use, or the current social networks that people are using.
So, go ahead. So is there anything, I mean, you personally, is there something that you currently are like, you know, I'm gonna dive into this, or something maybe you want to dive into, you just haven't had the time? Like, I'll give an example. I'm totally enamored with, but just don't know. Google Plus, man. G Plus is still one of those. I talk about it. I circle around it. I look at it. I touch it every once in a while, but I'm just not in.
You know, and I think for me, I'd love to dive in a little bit deeper into LinkedIn. I haven't been able to. I think they've, at least from my perspective, been more on the forefront for a non heavy technical user of social space, but from a regular everyday user of any social space, I think they're the ones that kind of, to me, have come out a little bit more on social media along those lines. And I also think that, what else? When you say Google Plus, you know, it's one of those things that people use, but it's not really pushed out there as much. It's not huge, but it tends to be a collaboration space. So if you're doing Hangouts, or if you're, you know, if you're a Google integrated person, there's so many different things that make it easy for you to IM, email, you know, Google Play, Calendar, your Reader, all those things that sync so easily across each other that many people use, but they use more so as a routine, so they don't really think about talking about it. So Google Plus is a thing that many people don't really talk about, but there's so much there that can be used as well. So, and I actually need to dive more, a little bit more into that. I've been wanting to use Hangouts. I haven't been able to.
Yeah, no, that's and same thing. And I've kind of just let it to see kind of what the traction and who pops up and doesn't. And so just letting it kind of run a little bit. So I think that might actually be my April initiative. I don't have goals, but that might be my initiative or objective of April, is to, you know, pull the open the kimono on that one and see what's up. So I love that phrase. I don't get to use it enough. So we got about a minute 45 left. So where are some of the conferences you're going to be going at? What's going on with the blog? What's up with you in a minute and 40 seconds?
Well, again, Benjamin McCall, same on Twitter. My blog is rethinkhr.org. And nothing really lately. You know, I'm not really going to go anywhere until probably the summer. I'd like to go to Sherman International. We'll see how that goes, maybe some state conferences, but it all depends on the schedule. Probably won't be able to go. I know I got a vacation going to Disney World, and so I'm looking forward to that.
Got it.
Yeah, so that's the big thing right there.
For sure. So, well, definitely, how can folks connect with you? We'll leave that top of mind for everybody. And then, my friend, great to hear your voice. Have a good rest of the day, and we're going to be out of here as soon as you tell people where they can find you one more time.
Same thing, Benjamin McCall on Twitter, MCCALL, and rethinkhr.org. And then you can find me anywhere, place, through those avenues.
Beautiful man. Folks, connect up with this cat. He knows what he's doing, and nobody more open to have a conversation. Brian, Nisha, William are out. See you, folks.
Thank you, Brian, Nisha, and y'all have a great day.